Greetings and welcome back again to another in our ongoing series of Shir Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now Masachet Bechorot Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet, in the middle of this, the eighth parak of Masachet Bechorot. Ezer Bechor Lenachalav La Kohen. The Mishnah near the bottom of the page, in the earlier first part of the first Mishnah, the large part, we dealt with those cases where you have a Bechor Lenachalav but not the Kohen, and then we had a flip. When do you have a Bechor Lenachalav La Kohen? So clearly the Mishnah is not going to list a simple case where a man who was never married and a woman who was never married, and neither one of them had any sort of children or any sort of pregnancy events, have a child who's a boy who lives. That's a no-brainer. So we're going to deal with a more intricate situation. If a woman gives birth or some miscarries and has a sack that's filled with water, or filled with blood or filled with pieces of meat or flesh, if she gives birth or miscarries and has things that look like fish or like locusts or like creepy crawlers, or if she has whatever form it may be within the first 40 days, even up to day 40 of pregnancy, the one that comes afterwards is a full bechor. That first thing is not called a birth event. Now, you'll say dofen v'bacharav. This is a tricky case. What if you have a C-section? So the C-section and the one that comes afterwards, which we'll assume now is a vaginal birth, shnehen einan bechor. Neither one of them is a bechor. Lo nachalav lekoin at all. We'll see why. Rishimon Omer, actually each one of them is a bechor. Rishon lenachalav, the first one is born C-section is bechor lenachalav, and asheni lechamesh lehem, the second one is bechor lekoin. Let's see why. Rishon lenachalav lo. Why is, according to Tanna Kamma, why is the first one not a bechor lenachalav, even though he's the firstborn son? Because v'yaldu lo ba'inan, the parsha of chelek b'chora is defined by yaldu lo, that the woman births to him ba'inan, and this is not called a birth. L'chamesh slaim nami lo. Why is he not the b'chor for his kohen? Because peterechem has to be that which opens the womb. Shenu l'nachalala. Why isn't the second one b'chor l'nachalala? Because reshito no ba'inan, has to be his first strength. His first strength was already born. That was the C-section. Why? Because Tanakama holds that just because you're Bechor for one thing, it's not enough, meaning to be the first one out of the womb is not enough if you're not the first child. And therefore, he's not Bechor the Kohen either. Why? We'll see this in Nida. Rabbi Shimon says that the pasuk that requires a woman to be Tmeah for Yoledet and to bring a korban Yoledet has the added word imnekeva teled. It could have just said imnekeva, imnekeva he. It says imnekeva teled to tell you about yotze dofen, meaning any sort of leida. So that means even though it's not peterechem, nobody could suggest that, it's still called a leida if it's a C-section. And Rabbi Shimon says that the second one is the Bechor Lekoin, because as long as you're Bechor for one thing, which is the first Petarechem, you're a full Bechor and have to pay the five Sla'im. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishlo Bikra Ishto. And this should remind us of the Mishnah that we had in the first parak and later on in the Masechet, and the first parak about the Chamor and the second parak about Bechor Behemah Torah, when you have multiple mothers who are giving birth and multiple children found, and one's male, one's female, or there's a mixture of them, then what's the halacha? So in this case, Mishlo Bikra Ishto, we're going to add one more mix here, is Bechor the Nachalai, and with the issue of who the father is. So now, a man has one wife. His wife never had kids. V'yaldashna Yizcharim. And she gives birth to two boys. We don't know which one is the first. Two twin boys. Notan chamesh slaim lekoin. He has to give five slaim to the coin. That's easy. Meit echad neim toch 30 yom. But if one of the boys died during the first 30 days, then that boy, if he was the bechor, there would be no payment. So ha'av patur, because the coin would have to prove that the little one was the bechor, and he can't prove that. Now, meita av abanim kayamim, let's flip it. Let's say the kids live a healthy life, but father died at some point. We don't know when. But meir meir imnat nuad shelo chalku, if the children paid the debt from the estate before they divided the property up, then not new. That was proper. Vimlav, but if they already divided the estate up, and then the kohen came and said, I know one of you guys is a kohen, then they're patur. We'll investigate that. He says, no, the property has an obligation on it to pay five slaim, and even though they already divided, they have to pay. Zachar nekeva in kan lekoin klum. If on the other end he comes and he finds that there was a boy and a girl, and we don't know which is first, the kohen has no claim, because of course the kohen would have to prove that the boy came first, and there is no proof. Okay, demita av emat. The question in the second half of the Mishnah about the machloket Amar Rabbi Yehuda, where the father died and the sons are alive, when did the father die relative to the birth? If he died after the boys around for 30 days. So Bahamar America Chalkupturin, in the case like that, would Rameh really say that if the boys already divided the property, the Yerusha, that they're Patur? At 30 days, the property had a lien on it for those five slayim. Dividing it up doesn't change anything. The father must have died during the first 30 days of life of his kids. Now, obviously, father had to die, though, after they were born, because if father was not alive at the time that they were born, then there is no real issue here of where the chiyuv comes. At least that'll be how it plays out in the later Mishnah. In this case, actually, it would not make a difference. So father died either when utero or before 30 days. So why does Rebbeir say if the son's already divided up the property? And at 30 days, the father was not alive. And now, years later, the sons divided up the property. The kohen comes to each one and says, you're the Bechor. He says, no, the other guy's the Bechor. And the kohen keeps getting bounced back and forth. So now, kilo chalku nami, even when they don't divide it, leza legabe hai velitche, veleza legabe hai velitche. Why doesn't the kohen come to one of the brothers who's sitting on the property and say, give me the property, give me the five slayim? And he say, no, the other brother's the Bechor, and he'll still get nothing. So why would chalku make a difference? So Rav Yirmiya zotomer shnei yosef ben shion. So Rav Yirmiya says, from the fact that he can't do that, it proves the following. And it's a very strange kind of conclusion. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Shayu Barachat, meaning two guys with the same name, and that means there's confusion as to a certain event, whether it happened to one or the other, and they live in one city. And they bought a field together as partners. Balchov Govel Tameham. Let's say there's a Balchov who has a shtar that says, Yosef ben Shimon owes me $1,000. And one of these two guys is the Yosef ben Shimon. We don't know which one it is. So if they took the property together in partnership, the Balchov can collect from them. If you're the one who owes me the money, I'm taking your money. And if it happens to be the other guy, I'm taking yours, and you guys figure out the division of your partnership. Not my problem. So Rabbi Yirmiya comes to that conclusion from the fact that Rabbi Meir says that even that if they did not yet divide the property, the kohen can come and claim and basically say to them, whichever one of you is the kohen, doesn't matter because it's joint property I'm taking from you. So I'm a Rava. Rava doesn't like this. It says, Mechti nichsi devar inish inun arvin bay. Think about this. A person's property acts as a guarantor for him. Meaning, you can collect from the property when you can't collect from the guy. However, the rule of an Arev is, since when do you have a situation where you cannot sue an individual, but you can sue his Arev? You can't do that. Vatnan, at the end of Bab Batra, in the last parak of Bab Batra, we learned, Hamalver Chaver Odei Arev, if you lend money with an Arev, meaning there's a guarantor, a co-signer on the loan, Loi Paramin Arev, you cannot come and collect from the Arev. Then what's the point of the Arev? Vakaimon, what does that mean? Loi Paramin Arev Tchila, that means you can't come to him first, meaning you first have to come to the Lovat, and then afterwards you go to the Arev. And since this Lovat does not exist, and you can't go to him, therefore it's not possible. So, Ella Amarava, the Olam Shemet Lachar Shloshim Yom. We have to say that the case that Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda disagree about is where father died after 30 days. Father was alive at the time that the Chiyuv kicked in, and then he died. If there's a lot of property there in the estate, then for sure the Kohen would be able to collect. What are we talking about? We're talking about a case where there's only five Slayim in the property. And now he's going to posit the following. The Kulei Alma Yidluhud Ravasi. Now there's a Machloket Rav and Shmuel about how to regard Yorshim when it comes to a Baal Chov collecting a debt from the father. Father died leaving a debt, and a Baal Chov comes to collect from the Yorshim. Rav says if he collects from the Yorshim, then it's basically a Yerusha, and what happens is the whole Yerusha now gets tore up, and they have to redivide it equally, so that the one brother doesn't lose 100% of this debt, it gets divided equally. On the other hand, Shmuel says, no, the Lekuchot, and whoever he took it from, too bad. Rav Asi splits the difference and says, because I'm not sure if halacha k'rav or halacha k'shmuel, Rav Asi says, ha'chin shachalku mechza yorshin mechza lekuchot. When you inherit property, you regard half of it as Yerusha and half of it as lekuchot. Meaning because of the safek. So Rav says, everybody first of all accepts Rav Asi. Everybody meaning Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. Second of all, v'lechuli alma milvak tuva b'torah, Lav kichtuv v'shtar damya. And this is an interesting discussion that takes place in Kiddushin and Bava Batra and several other places. How do we regard a milvak tuvav Torah? What's a milv is a loan? What's a milvak tuvav Torah? A debt that the Torah puts on you. For instance, shloshim shel evet. When your ox kills somebody else's slave, you have to pay 30 shkalim for that. Or, for instance, when you have a firstborn son, you have to pay 5 shkalim to the Kohen. That's a milvak tuvav Torah. Is that as if it's written in a shtar or not? So if we say that it's not as if it's written in the shtar, then it remains an oral debt. With a chuli amid l'Rav Papa, the third prong in this argument is that everybody must accept Rav Papa's principle. Rav Papa, milv al peg, govem el yashin, veino govem el kuchot. This is a sugi that is essentially at the end of Bava Batra and in the beginning of Kiddush and Daf Yud Gimel, that an oral debt can be collected from the heirs of the debtor, but not from those who purchase property from the debtor. So now, that's the problem here. Is that we're accepting Rav Asi, which means there's 5 slaim on the property, but that means only 2.5 of them are called Yerusha, the other 2.5 are Lekuchot. We're accepting the principle that this Pinyon HaBen is like an oral debt, and an oral debt can only be collected from heirs and not from Lekuchot, and therefore there's only really 2.5 Shkalim available for collection here. What's the machloka between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Whether or not a Kohen can collect a partial payment. In other words, the Torah say you pay 5, and that's the mitzvah, there is no partial. Or you pay 5, and if you can't pay 5, you have to pay less, like any other kind of debt. Rav Meir says you must collect 5 and no less, which means since here there's not 5 to collect, there's nothing to collect. Rav Yehuda says, no, you could collect partial, and therefore, since there's 2.5 available, collect the 2.5 available, and that's why he says, nishtabdu nechasim. The problem is, he should have said, the man is chayav, not the property, because it's actually the debt on the property that's the problem. We have a bright Rabbi Yehuda is going to end up saying the opposite of what we just wanted him to say. When brothers divide up property, if they each have 10 zoos, which is going to be 2.5 shkalim. So that means 20 zoos, which is 5 shkalim. Chayavin, vimlav, turim. So now, my asura zuz, lazel, asura zuz, lazel, what does that mean? 10 each, ilem, ben di, rusha, ben de lekuchot, because we're still working with the Rav Asi model, where 50% of it is called lekuchot. So do you mean a total of 20, which would mean only 10 of Yerusha, which would mean only 2.5 shkalim available? Chamesh, vudu, chatsi, chamesh, and Reb Yehuda says you could even collect partial? Ehachim, my yoya, asura, then why does Reb Yehuda talk about 10? I feel like some master on Nami. Yehuda could talk about 6 or 3 or 2. Any small amount, because according to Yehuda, supposedly, you could collect any fraction of the payment, and that's still something you could collect. What he must mean is, if this one has 10 Yerusha, meaning he has a total of 20 in Rav Asi's scenario, 10 that are Yerusha, Asarazuz da Yerusha Lezeh, the other guy has 10, which means totally you have 20, which means totally you have 5 Shkalim, 20 zuz is 5 slayim. Alma chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh v'lo. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds, you must be able to collect the full amount. Not like Rav posited. Ella, we have to reject and say, dekuli alma chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. And therefore, what is the machloka between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? V'acha, Rav Asi, Rav Papa, kami palgi. So we do accept Rav Azukimta, and saying that the case definition is where there were only 5 slayim on the property. But the problem is, maybe that they disagree about whether to accept Rav Asi's position and say that this property is half Yerusha, half Lekuchot. Maybe Rav Yehuda says it's all Yerusha, so you can collect the whole thing. Or they disagree with Rav Papa and say that whether or not maybe you can collect an oral debt even from Lekuchot. So you could accept Rav Asi and reject Rav Papa, vice versa, and you'd be okay. Now, that's Rava's answer. Some people learned that Rava's whole position, and by the way, Rav Yirmiyah's position, and Rava's attack at his position are all a comment on the Seifa. Nitchavu nechasim. Rabbi Yehuda said nitchavu nechasim. And then we said, Demita Avemat. When did father die? Elim a Demit Lachar Shloshim. Your father died after Shloshim. Rameir Sabar Kechalku Peturin. The same exact thing we had before. Hayishtabdilu Nechsi. Al Batoch Shloshim. Must be he died during 30. Kechalku Mai Mechai Rabbi Yehuda. So why would Rabbi Yehuda say that they're chayiv if father died during 30? Each guy that the coin comes to could push him away and say, go to the other guy. Now this is a different conclusion. If there's two guys named Yosef ben Shimon in one city, one Yosef ben Shimon bought a field from the other guy, Yosef ben Shimon, and the Balchov has a star in Yosef ben Shimon, Balchov govei menu. He can collect from the guy who bought it. Why? If you're the guy that owes me the money, I'm taking from you. And if on the other hand it is your buddy, the guy who sold it to you, I have a shibud that predates his. In other words, he sold it to you, but I had a shibud on the property before he sold it to you, and therefore I have claims on it. So I'm a Rava. So now that is how Rav Yirmiyah reads the situation, and it must be that the father died before 30, and the question is why Rabbi Yehuda says that there is a chiyuv on the property. It says, aha, because that proves that when the property goes from A to B, and one of A or B was the guy who was chayiv, that the Balchov can collect from it. In this case, the coin can. So Rava turns around and says, Mech, that's sort of our Inishi Narvin Bey, Vechula Kalish Takama. And then the editor just says, and the exact rest of the argument follows exactly what Rava said. After all, your property is an Arv. You can't collect from the Arv before you collect from the guy. Rather, it must be a case where there's only five, etc., etc. And we ended up where we ended up. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next long Mishnah on Daf Memchet. I would bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.